Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas. You have us until 6 o'clock tonight. Cavaliers about to begin a long journey out west. As a matter of fact, their road trip begins tomorrow night. They're taking on the San Antonio Spurs. And here to talk Cavaliers basketball with us, we have Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network. And don't forget, when we wrap up our talk with Jim Jones, we want you to give us a call at 440-322-0930 because we're giving away a couple of tickets to see the Cavaliers in their season finale on Tuesday, April 9th at Quicken Loans Arena against the Charlotte Hornets. It's courtesy of our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Wait for your cue to call here in just a few moments. Jim, as always, we appreciate the time. And you know, I think one of the things for the Cavaliers over the last couple of weeks is the fact that they certainly have looked a heck of a lot healthier, getting a lot of guys coming back from injury, playing consistently now. And one of the guys they missed for the better part of the last month and a half was Tristan Thompson. And, you know, I think you and I have talked about him quite a bit throughout the course of the season with the leadership that he has displayed when he has been on the floor and off it as well. But what are your general impressions of Tristan Thompson over the last four games since he's returned?
Well, that leadership is through example, and he does very, very well with that. His physicality, he doesn't back down. He gives us a bull, and we've needed a physical player, and we really missed his physical presence and his ability to defend and rotate and really help our defense. You know, Coach Longobardi is like, he's our defensive guru, but he's building strategies with one hand behind his back because one of the best defensive centers in the league, you know, we didn't have for 20-some games. That's huge for us. Especially a team with the amount of inexperienced players that we're playing.
Another guy the Cavaliers certainly missed for a while, but certainly have really benefited from having him back in recent weeks, is Kevin Love. And I think a guy like Kevin Love, his success can be measured in so many different ways. And I think last night against the Celtics, we certainly saw that Kevin Love can still be extraordinarily good, even when he's not scoring or shooting consistently well. Can you elaborate on the non-scoring impact that Kevin Love has had? Because, again, last night, at least in the first few quarters, he didn't shoot particularly well, but it still seemed like he had a really strong impact in other areas.
Yep, his physical presence, along with Tristan, made us able to match up with Horford and Baines. That's one of the distinct advantages the Celtics have when they play them together. They have experience, physicality, and size with those two guys in there, and we sort of neutralized that. The guy that beat us last night was Marcus Martin, and I know you'll talk about that later, but the point is that we're better able to match up. And, you know, and Kevin is such a scoring threat. Even if he misses five and six in a row like he did last night, you can't leave him. Because sooner or later, you know, he's going to start making shots. To our disadvantage, last night he just didn't have a rhythm. He couldn't get a rhythm. But he did all those other little things. He defensive rebound, level of physicality, his rotation on defense, talking to the young guys, keeping them encouraged, all those fundamental things, the intangibles, Kevin is very, very good at.
And with the return of all the bigs for the Cavaliers, you know, that does leave the Cavaliers with at least a little bit of a problem. You know, Coach Drew's done the best he can throughout the course of the year of making patchwork of some of the lineups with all the injuries that he's had to sustain throughout the course of the season. But another name that kind of pops up every week in our conversations, Jim, is Ante Zizic. And I think this has kind of become a little bit of a problem because anytime you get all these experienced players coming back, you can't exactly carve out a spot for some of the younger guys, and I think because of that, Ante Zizic has kind of gotten lost in the mix the last couple of games. And I think it's got to be more than, you know, just trying to get him back into the flow of the offense. But this was a guy, Jim, that really kind of looked like he was catching fire. Is there any way to kind of get him back into the rotation?
It's going to be difficult, but all is not lost. They've seen enough of him to know that he can help us. They've seen enough of him to know that he has some upside. They've seen enough of him to know that he's improved in his aggressiveness on the offensive end and his physicality on the defensive end. He's running the floor a lot better. He's playing with confidence when he plays. So they, I think they've seen him. They know where he's at. They're playing Tristan and those guys in love, you know, because of the veteran experience, and they deserve it. But it's no slight to Zizic based upon what we are and where we are right now. They know what he is, and it'll make it easier to evaluate him and all of our young players at the end of the season or even around draft time, you know, because right now, you know, I couldn't think of any team that's done a better job than the Cavaliers as far as playing these kids, maintaining a certain level of competitiveness, and still getting the job done. I just think they've done a fantastic job, and, you know, they've acquired first and second round picks. They had to pay for it up to $35 million, but they didn't lose their core. And their core is daily being evaluated. Nance is back. He finally looks like he's in the rhythm again. And I just believe that the Cavaliers are on the right track. This is what you have to do. Probably the most difficult thing, you can't be so overwhelmed by talent or acquiring talent that you marginalize chemistry. And chemistry is just as important as talent. If guys can't play together, Celtics, you know, it doesn't make a difference how much talent you have. And they're struggling. I told Cornbread Maxwell last night, he said, what do you think? I said, you don't have any chemistry. They don't trust each other. And when they do, they only trust certain people. Certain groups trust certain people, but not the whole. It's not a collective. And I've always said that chemistry is just as important as talent. So that's another challenge for us. So far, so good. These kids like each other. They look out for each other. They're at a place right now that I didn't think they could ever reach based on how they started the season.
We're talking with Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, you know, what you had talked earlier about last night, and, you know, Marcus Smart just kind of gave the Cavaliers all kinds of problems. You know, what was it exactly that he was doing last night that allowed him to be so successful, and it just didn't look like the Cavaliers were able to adjust?
Physicality, feeling, bumping, hard fouls, an aggressive offensive attacking mode, taking shots on catch and shoot without any hesitation. He just beat us psychologically. I just thought he overwhelmed. I thought we lost our edge. We missed a few shots, and he was making shots. He's improved. He signed that new contract this season, and he's playing awfully comfortable right now. He and Horford are still their best defenders. And I just think that and when he's playing well, they're a good team.
No question about it. And one guy that was certainly absent for the Celtics last night was Kyrie Irving. And, you know, this seems to be a hot-button topic with Kyrie. Every time he has an opportunity to come back and play against the Cavaliers in Cleveland, he decides to sit. Jim, how much do you think we should read into this? Do you think this has become a much bigger story than it actually should be, or is there something more to this?
Well, I think it's a big story because it's no coincidence. When it happens once, okay, that's an accident. When it happens twice, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But this guy has not played against us in Cleveland, what, four times now since what's-his-name hurt his ankle? You know, so the point I'm making is that if he feels regret or despises us or what, all of those things become valid because you're not showing up. You're not showing up. And, you know, our fans were looking forward to it. I mean, he's not cheating us as announcers. But when I talk to some of the Celtics people, you know, they're trying to figure out what is this thing called management. You know, I said it's another word for saying rest without being embarrassed. And if what the league is trying to do is take it easy on the fans who spend all of that money in the summer to see the stars, and then the stars don't show up because they're quote-unquote managing their rest.
And it's interesting because, you know, Kevin Love made comments after the game stating that, look, you know, Kyrie's his friend, he's an ex-teammate, and he said that, you know, he really believes that, you know, bygones will be bygones. I mean, it's been, you know, a year and a half since it all went down, and, you know, maybe it's me looking at things positively here, but I really don't think that the response would be overwhelmingly bad. I think there are certainly a lot of people here that tremendously appreciate all of Kyrie's contributions when he was here. Do you think there's that ultimate fear that when he steps out onto the floor, some of that's going to come back to the forefront again?
Possibly. possibly. But he's looking at himself, and he's making those decisions based on how he feels, that evidently. If he looked at how the fans respected him and started with him and tolerated him and appreciate him because of the championship he brought us, then he should have appeared. I think it's that simple. I don't think you have to go too deep to read into it. You know, he's pretty. He's an easy read. And the point I bring up is because I just have a concern about all those people who buy those Celtics tickets thinking they're going to see Kyrie Irving, and then he got to show up for any of the games in Cleveland. And that's unfair to them. And not necessarily because of the money, but because most of those people appreciate what he did for us. And he's not even looking at that. You know, many times in our league, you know, our players don't look at what we owe the fans. They talk a great fans game. It wasn't for you. But when it comes to really putting your money where your mouth is, a lot of them fall back into a shell and only think about themselves. That's what being a professional is. Put a smile on your face, tolerate it, get out there and work hard as you can, win or lose, make no excuses, be humble in victory, and just keep on going. I mean, that's a professional attitude. I think a lot of these kids miss that, Adam, because they didn't finish college. They didn't go through the regimen and the routines that are necessary to be a college player. I think a lot of them miss that. I really do.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, Jim, of course, coming up this week and into next week, taking us towards the end of the season, the Cavaliers have a very long West Coast swing coming up, and it starts out tomorrow night against the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, what can long trips like this teach a young club such as this one? I know last week we got into how the Cavaliers have been a little bit better at home of late since the All-Star break, but, you know, going out on the road can certainly teach you a lot. And I think these long road trips certainly have a tendency to help these guys kind of rally together.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And it's going to be more of a challenge now because standings-wise and playoff-wise, we're not playing for that. So you have to find some kind of intangible to play for. And I think spoiler is a motivator. I also think that you want to end the season on a good note. You also want to let fans know that you have a conscience and you're going to finish this thing out in the best way that you can. All of those intangibles are just as important as 20 points a game or going into the playoffs. You know, so Drew has his hands and his work and his staff. They've got to be ultra positive. They have to be ultra challenging to these guys to keep them focused. They're going from cold weather to warm weather. Many of them live on the West Coast, and so they have to keep them focused. And that'll be the challenge for the staff. But this group of guys have been surprising me all year on how they fight through things and they keep playing hard, and they've made themselves a competitive team. And I think that's what Kobe was looking for. Can I keep these guys competitive and still get some experience? Can I do that? Can I play them minutes and still win the game, you know, give myself a chance to win the game, and still keep these kids motivated, just keep trying to win? And that has been a challenge for us all season. If I had to give Kobe and Drew a mark, I'd give them an A+. Because most times, guys, it doesn't happen that way with both teams.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And they've certainly been competitive in recent weeks against some really good playoff teams as well. No question about that. So we're all very excited to see how they perform on this trip out west. Well, tomorrow night, we mentioned, it all begins with a matchup against the San Antonio Spurs. Jim, what kinds of matchups are you looking forward to most tomorrow night against San Antonio?
Aldridge kills us. I mean, that's an easy. Aldridge kills us. Their guard play, they just seem to be a step quicker than us. We've never really had an answer for DeRozan, even when he was with Toronto. They've got some pieces. Over the last month and a half, they've played a lot better. It's going to be a supreme challenge for us playing in that environment. And I guess it's Manu Ginobili's last home game or something to that effect. And they're going to have a big celebration. So we'll get to see what champions do for those that have helped them win championships.
Very good stuff. We're certainly looking forward to it tomorrow night. Jim, as always, we tremendously appreciate the time. Safe travels out west, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, my friend. You're the best.
Thank you, Jim. Again, that's Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, phone lines are open. If you want two tickets to see the Cavaliers take on the Charlotte Hornets in the regular season finale, give us a call. 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930. Tickets are courtesy of our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience in Oco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. They're open every single day of the week. We have a Cavaliers swag bag and also two tickets to see the Cavaliers take on the Charlotte Hornets Tuesday, April 9th. If you're the first caller, you'll win those tickets. Again, 440-322-0930. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return after this here on AM 930 WEOL.